You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the second Sunday after the Epiphany, January 17, 2015, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rite of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may remember, and I hope you do, a couple of Sundays ago when we read the first chapter of John's Gospel. In the beginning, just like in Genesis, in the beginning, John tells us that the Word, the divine Logos, comes from God and is God. And the Word has come into the world to show what God looks like and to show us what God does. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known, the Gospel of John tells us. So God isn't an abstract concept. God decided to become a real flesh and blood human being so we could have a real relationship. It's hard to have a relationship with a concept or an idea, but a relationship with a human being, now that's something we can work with. So this morning we join this human being, Jesus of Nazareth, as he sets out on his mission. And it's important to note the place where we meet him, at a wedding feast. You know, weddings are gathering of friends and family to celebrate a deeply human moment, this joining together of two bodies and two souls in an enduring bond of relationship. And in Jesus' time and place, a wedding feast would have involved the whole village of Cana, and it would have gone on for a week. Jesus is emerging into his public life in the midst of the social fabric of village life. He's part of everyday life. So this wedding feast is Jesus' coming out party, if you will. It's his debut. And look who's with him. His mom. Now it's interesting that Mary only appears twice in John's Gospel. Here at this wedding and then at the foot of the cross at the end of the story. And John never names her. She's always described as his mother or as the mother of Jesus. Now, mom recognizes a serious problem and points it out to her son. The wine has run out. To run out of wine at a wedding feast in this culture was a matter of disgrace for the bridegroom. A real disaster. Jesus then has a very curious response. "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." First, to our modern ear, Jesus' reference to his mother as woman might sound harsh or disrespectful, but not so in his time. It was a well-accepted and very natural form of address, so no need to read anything into it. His reference to his hour clearly refers to the hour of his death, the time when he will be lifted up to his Father and draw all people to him. Undoubtedly, Mary will remember that reference when we next meet her at the foot of the cross. Now, even though he at first resists her implied request, you know, to do something about it, Jesus, for reasons we aren't told, decides to meet the need and to begin to reveal his glory now, in this moment. "Do whatever he tells you," Mary says to the servants, and they do. Six big, and I do mean big, stone jars are filled with water and brought to Jesus. And then an interesting thing happens. Jesus tells the servants to take some of the contents of the jars to the steward. The steward didn't know where it had come from, and when he tasted it, well, it wasn't Boone's Farm. No, it was the Chateau Lafite, the very best. And then the steward compliments the bridegroom. Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests become drunk. But you've kept the good wine until now. The party goes on even better than before. The bridegroom's reputation is saved, and it even gets better. And this was the first of Jesus' signs that revealed his glory. And what was the sign? The sign was this. In Jesus' presence, the abundance of God's love is poured out into the world. Jesus enters a bad situation, and his presence transforms it. A pretty amazing coming out party. And you know, we're at another coming out party this morning. A coming out party for these three beautiful children that are here. For Steele and for Bo and for Lois. Lois, I love that name. What a beautiful old-fashioned name. She'll be the only Lois in her class, I'll bet. That's just beautiful. I'm so glad you all did that. And these three babes are about to become the newest members of the household of faith. We're going to welcome them and celebrate them just like that long ago day in Cana. Maybe not with quite as much wine. But the celebration that we're going to experience this morning is going to be really heartfelt. And these babes are here with their mothers and fathers and godmothers and godfathers and their families. So a word for our babes on this blessed day, and a word for all of us, comes straight from Jesus' mother. Do whatever he tells you to do. It's the simplest, most direct, easiest to understand, but hardest to follow advice ever given. Do whatever he tells you to do. You know, it's interesting, though, in John's gospel, Jesus doesn't actually give a lot of instructions or a lot of advice. He never sets out commandments or rules or says, you do this or you do that. He sure doesn't lecture or hand out guidebooks. He just says something pretty simple. And he says it over and over and over again in John's gospel. Love each other. This is my commandment, he says, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. So if we're going to do whatever he tells us, it begins and ends in love. And love isn't abstract. Love is tangible. Love acts. Love reaches out to those who hurt. Love reaches out to those who are hungry. Love reaches out to those who are suffering. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is tender. Love is merciful to those who need mercy. And that's all of us. Love doesn't react in anger or jealousy or fear. Love doesn't close doors to the stranger or to the homeless or to the refugee. Love opens those doors. And love is here among us. This weekend, 18 of our middle school youth are on retreat with other middle school youth from across the diocese. They'll be meeting Jesus as they laugh and sing and learn and grow in grace together. Love is here in this beautiful music that Charles and David and our choir make. The music that lifts us all up to heaven when we allow it to. I mean, isn't it glorious? It's just glorious. And love is here at this altar. Bread and wine bearing Jesus. Bread and wine bearing love. Shared together for the sake of the world. Do whatever he tells you, the mother of Jesus says to you and to me. And what Jesus tells us to do is to love, not accumulate stuff, not distract ourselves with smartphones and devices, not hide away with those who think exactly the way we do. No, Jesus tells us to love. And that might mean letting go of some of our stuff. That might mean getting our heads out of our devices and making real connections with people. That might mean, for goodness sake, listening to someone who maybe has some different ideas than you do. What a concept, right? Be in relationship with somebody who thinks differently from you. And that might mean forgiving someone who's hurt you, even if that person hasn't asked for forgiveness. And here's a really hard one. That might mean recognizing when you yourself have hurt someone and asking them to forgive you. That's just what love does. The wine that poured out of those big stone jars on that long ago day in Cana was the love of God pouring out into the world. And it's still being poured out for each of us, for this community of St. Thomas and for the world. It's just up to us to come and taste it. And it's up to you and it's up to me to do whatever he tells you to do. It's up to you and me to do love. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.